Listen, Anthem's going to be 60 frames a second, 4K, open environment. Destiny's got nothing on it.
Destiny 2, dude. Better game, proven experience, proven winners from Bungie. Destiny is going to be great.
I thought we were talking about Better Call Saul.
We are. We're also talking about E3 and everything that happened this weekend and all the stuff that's happening in the Nerdiverse. The LuzoCast starts right now. Get on our level, Krishna.
Hello, and welcome to episode
52
of the LuzoCast. Right. I knew that and forgot and had to look.
That's fantastic.
He never knew what episode it was.
No, no. There's only one episode that I'll know, and you'll know it when it happens. But as always, I'm Krishna, and I'm joined by Ravi, Sarah, and Arjuna. Dare I ask how everyone's doing?
I think the three of us are okay. I think Arjuna had an interesting night last night.
I did. Do you want to tell us about that?
So my acquaintance I know from New Hampshire is in town. His name is Paul.
Your acquaintance. You have one acquaintance?
Just one.
You're getting. You're receiving a finger
image. No, my good friend Paul, he's in town. And I picked him up from the airport yesterday, and we went to our local Mexican eatery, Cactus, right by our apartment.
It's on Vine, right?
Right on Vine Street.
Right on Vine Street.
It's right around
in Hollywood.
It's right around midnight in Hollywood. We're getting some...
Which is questionable in that area at best.
We're getting some late-night Mexican food, and as we are waiting for our order to come out, a car drives by and shoots some paintballs at us and some other people and the restaurant. I think there were about 6 paintballs. I got hit by 2. Another guy got hit in the back of the neck by 1. And then 3 of them hit the stand eatery. So, yeah, it was
a drive-by paintball.
That is not okay.
A drive-by paintball job at 12 o'clock.
What is wrong with people?
At first, because it doesn't, like, a paintball gun doesn't sound like a real gun because it's just air kind of shooting out.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely...
That's how it sounds.
Yeah, at first...
Wait, hold on.
Oh my. when it first happened, I thought it was something like rocks, or Paul had mentioned like a flat tire or something. And then I definitely felt the 2 shots. So I got like hit in the back here, and then I...
Wait, the back wedge?
I got hit in the back right here. That was the first one. And then the second one was right under my right butt cheek.
His butcher left.
You're
shot in the arse.
It was really close to my groin. It was very close.
Wait, for some reason, I picture when you got shot, you were doing something like... You would have done something like this.
Essentially.
Yikes.
Shrimp burrito.
I want that shrimp burrito now. I was really disappointed though, because I was wearing a hoodie that I really like, and I got pants
on it. Now it's ruined.
No, it should come out pretty well.
You should get that.
I mean, I used the tie to go pen when I got home.
You should hang it up and be like, you know, this is Hollywood. It's clearly the 1990s still, but with paintballs.
Also, not really in Hollywood so much as other neighborhoods. So.
K-Town.
I will say, after it happened, the thought did cross my mind, not to get too dark, like, what if that had been a real gun?
Seriously.
I was definitely thankful it was just paintballs and nothing more serious, but I was wary that night of vehicles that drove by.
Yeah, for sure.
So Arjuna is now going to become reclusive and live indoors.
Yeah.
It was a great intro for Paul as well. Paul, welcome to L.A.
He was literally in L.A. for 1 hour and got shot.
And this was the first trip, right?
First trip to Los Angeles.
Great.
Wow, welcome, welcome.
It's a great way.
Welcome to our fine city.
But they didn't even do it the correct way.
Yeah, oh my
okay,
God.
Okay, so hold on. So you get caught in a paintball drive-by, and Krishna meets time travelers. Yeah. You and I have some kind of boring life, because we've not, like...
Yeah, neither thing.
I mean, been here 5-plus years. And
I've been here 13 years almost.
I can't say, seriously.
Real quick, to add on to that, crazy characters in Hollywood, I went for a walk, like, last week. Walking, and then coming off the sidewalk, and there's a lady standing there, and she's blocking like the whole sidewalk. She's just like standing right next to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like about to like try and scoot around, and she like turns around, stops, and stares at me, and goes, "F you!" Takes her fist and then punches the bus stop. She hit it hard enough where I think she put a dent in it, and I was like, I just stopped, stared at her, and then like went around the bus stop like doing one of these. I'm like, she just like stared at me the whole time. She was like missing some teeth. I was like waiting for the bus.
That must
like,
be some really powerful meth.
Cocaine. Yeah. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, I was like,
that
was
actually like, this does horrible. Remind me of, and I know I've told the story before of the we'll keep it friendly and call it the FU guy. Because I live down on the edge of Koreatown. And this was years ago because I've been here a long time. But this guy, you could hear him. It was quiet at night, and you could hear this guy all the time, forever, just yelling, "F you! F you!" And so, and he would always ask you for money, and then if you didn't give him money, he'd tell you to F you. And so, you know, you get used to it, and you just walk past him because there's no having a conversation with that guy. And so there was one night I had parked my car, not even like, I lived on Wilshire and near the Wiltern down yeah. like right there. There's a Rouse Center, like a few blocks from that, a couple blocks from that. And I live just north of Wilshire. So if you park on Wilshire, he's always there. But if you park on, like I'd parked up on like 6th Street. So there was like, he wasn't usually around there. I got out of my car and he's right there. And I was like, damn it. And he's like, "You got any money?" And I'm like, oh God. I'm like, no. But then I'd come back from dinner and I had some leftover. I had like pretty much a whole meal in the takeout thing. And I was like, no, but I have some food. Would you like some food? Because this is how you cannot, like, even try with a lot of the, like, people. And he goes, "I don't want your food, white woman."
Oh, my God.
F you. And I was so over it because I just listened to this guy interrupt my sleep for so long.
And now you're trying to do something.
And I was like,
nice.
You know what? He goes, "What?" I said, "F you." And he shut up. It's the best. Yeah. He didn't know what to do, and somebody yelled back at him.
Well, that's
welcome
where we
to
live.
LA.
So that's we're just giving you a picture of sort of where we are. It's very interesting always. So let's jump into our show. So the first thing we have, Better Call Saul. We have it was episode 9, so we have one more episode to go.
The penultimate.
When we watched the penultimate episode.
The penultimate?
Yeah. It's like the. I guess like an extra exactly.
The sub ult.
Oh look, we have some. Oh look, check that out. Look, oh, right there.
So you pointed her butt.
Your arm is gone.
Yeah, it was bad timing. But I mean, Ravi, sort of. What did you think of the episode? I think you.
I was bored.
Were very impressed by it.
I was bored.
Cinematography.
It
was
a very boring episode.
It really did set up a lot of things. Though.
I think what was tragic was what he like did to manipulate the class action lawsuit towards the old lady in the Sandpiper case.
Yeah.
Which we hadn't heard about the Sandpiper case in a season and a half, and just kind of the way he manipulated her, like that's very Saul Goodman. But you also, at least I did, I felt so bad like that he alienated like this very old woman from all of her friends.
Yeah.
And
good. How dare she hold on to all that money?
She doesn't know what she's doing.
Like it was definitely really sad, and to do that, the big thing that obviously happened at the end of the episode was Kim getting into the car accident, and we talked about this, just kind of how well done it is. She's just going over in her mind, and then it's just like
the next shot.
Boom! It's like there. The next.
Did you both jump as well?
I jumped a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know,
but you kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah. You know what I really
something was coming.
Right.
What I really liked about that shot was because that's what like falling asleep at the wheel is like. You're there, and all of a sudden,
accident.
Right. Yeah. Or you just realize you nodded off and you don't remember when or how.
I'm glad they didn't do the cheesy, you know. They get into a car accident, like go to black, and then it's like, wait till the next episode.
Oh yeah, she's
survived,
stumbling around.
You see that she's alive. She's definitely hurt.
Well, that's a great crane shot too that they had. They started like close up on her coming out of the car, and then it zoomed back right
out.
That was really well done. And then the intriguing storyline is right now with Nacho. And
nacho cheese,
nacho libre,
nacho cheese,
nacho,
and kind of what's going on there with Hector Salamanca, and now we've known from the Hector and Gus's bigger, you know, boss, the guy that controls all of the drug distribution in that area, has, you know, decided that it will distribute through Gus, which clearly bothers Hector a lot because he's now losing a little more power.
Do you get the impression that the last episode of the season, maybe a lot of the action is going to revolve around perhaps some kind of confrontation between those two?
I think we're coming to a head with the Nacho situation, especially with the next sneak peek. The next episode is he brings Hector to the place where his dad does the car stuff, and there's going to be a confrontation somewhere.
Oh,
there.
Real quick. So Nacho goes to tell his dad, right? Basically, I couldn't stop laughing because of the stupid glass of
the
milk.
The milk was hilarious. It could have been horchata.
That much horchata? Jesus.
I don't know.
Was horchata back out in like the early 2000s?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, horchata is yes. Horchata.
But no, I like it. So I like it. He's a milk guy. He's definitely a. It's probably a 2%, you know, whole like milk.
I gotta be honest, I didn't watch it, but I think I could handle a ginormous glass of horchata and I'd be fine. So
there you go, boom.
Not just a hardened criminal.
I think the only other thing to mention from the episode really is that we saw
Chuck?
Mike.
Oh my
God. Meet with Magical and that lady.
Funneling his money.
We should also mention Chuck.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
suing
further down the rabbit hole. He's about to sue
H&M
because and you can clearly see his mental state is still very unstable in terms of him trying to fake it now to get ahead. And I think he's trying to do that so he can't lose from that within court in terms of if he does go ahead and sue Hamlin.
Yeah. And he's specifically suing them for $8 million, which is his worth, like what his share of the company is.
Yeah.
And he knows that H&M doesn't have it.
Does not have that.
So he's going all out. He's like, he wants to be a lawyer. He wants to try cases. He doesn't want to retire. And very James McGill-esque. He's stubborn about it, right? Yes. He's not going to take no for an answer. The McGills, say what you will, they're stubborn.
What's interesting is the way I actually felt a little sorry for Hamlin when he comes into the kitchen at that point, and there's kind of this look on his face where he finally is starting to realize that
Jimmy was right the whole time.
Yeah, Jimmy is kind of right, and he's insane.
Yeah. What? Anyone else really have anything to add to that?
Any bold predictions for episode 10? Mike, I think Nacho will die in episode 10.
I don't think he will. I think we got at least one more season.
I think one more. I think, yeah. Half a season.
Half a season?
I think he's going to die.
Yeah, that would be too obvious. And this show's never been about being obvious.
I like Nacho, too. I don't know what it is, but I like that character.
I do like Nacho.
Because
he looks like me.
Because he's bald?
He's bald?
He was the voice actor of the main character in Far Cry 3.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh.
What else has he been in?
He's a British actor.
He's British?
He's British. He's been in a couple of different things. He's going to be a Spider-Man Homecoming. I believe he's going to be one of the goons for the Vulture.
Is he playing the Shocker? Because one of the goons is playing the Shocker.
Maybe. When you look him up on IMDb, it doesn't say what his character is, so it could be.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
So,
yeah, I've literally never seen
more before. Things from Nacho Cheese.
Nacho Cheese. All right, cool. That was Better Call Saul. So let's move on.
Well, hold on. I got to change the graphics here. It takes a second. Jeez.
Do you like how that I gave you that time? I was like, and let's.
But what are we going into?
The lateral quick hit. So.
Hold on, I still don't have the graphic up.
Yeah, I can introduce
there it. There you go, got your lateral.
So those of you who follow us here at Luzo Productions, we are involved in a few other projects. And
we are?
They
some
are.
Of us are, yes. Some of us, no. We all are. We all have different things going on. And one of the things that me and Arjuna do is a sports podcast called The Lateral. You can check it out at iTunes. I believe it's iTunes/podcasts.
www.itunes.com/podcast/lateral. It's actually right across the screen, right here.
Oh, I didn't even have to say it.
Yeah.
Well, and we can see the screen now. It's right here.
So yeah, we do that. That's released every Monday night, pretty consistently.
Yeah, about sports. So our lateral quick hit right now is going to be about the Boston Celtics. We are in the off-season mode. The Celtics have the number one overall pick, and reports and Twitter and Instagram have all come out and said, and this is how sports news is delivered now, have all come out and said that the Celtics, Danny Ainge, is in serious talks to trade that number one overall pick. I think the strongest report is to the 76ers, who are down at number three. And so
Lakers are number two, right?
Lakers are number two. And they is not out of play that they may try and move
sports.
Up as well.
Look at Robbie with this.
Because Magic
talk.
Magic Johnson is apparently quote unquote in love with Fultz, who the Celtics are expected to take at number one.
And when is when's the NBA draft?
The NBA draft is next Thursday, June 22nd. We will be bringing a live event to Luso Productions. You can check that out that night, June 22nd. We'll be starting the stream right when the first round starts at, I believe, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are we hitting everything?
Standard Time. The whole draft?
Are we going to do the whole draft, and are we doing Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube?
Yeah, we should.
We're making decisions right here on air.
Periscope?
You get to
We'll be doing the first round, but we're not doing the second round because no one.
We
want
to. Because they have lives.
Well, it's just,
that's a lot more.
Historically, I think it's like 10% of second round picks play get see any time in the NBA. Yeah.
When they do like the second round draft picks, is it kind of like an empty state, like auditorium, like nobody's there? It's like just sad.
There's still people there, but they don't show necessarily every pick. Like they'll show more talking heads.
Wait, is that 10% ever or just in their first year?
No, ever.
Oh, that's
basketball is tough.
But then even in the first round, a lot of players will never play in the NBA either. It's just like the NBA is kind of a
uber competitive.
There are only five players play at once. Mm-hmm. The teams are super
30
small.
Teams, yeah.
You have guys that play for 20 years.
Now, a lot of those guys will end up overseas. They'll go play in China, they'll play in Europe.
But they won't end up in the NBA.
Now, recently, they might travel around the D League, trying to hopefully get a shot later on in their careers.
The D League?
Yeah, it's like the minor leagues.
But let's real quick talk about the actual potential trade with the 76ers. The rumor is that the Celtics love Josh Jackson, who is supposed to be the third best available prospect. That's why they're looking to trade down. The draft package would allegedly include a future first rounder and a mixture of other draft picks. There's also reports coming out that Chicago could be a third team, and Jimmy Butler from the Bulls and
Jahlil
Okafor from the 76ers could be involved in some way. So perhaps the Celtics getting a number three pick, a first rounder, and maybe one or two of those guys. In this three-team trade somehow. And Christian's shaking his head here, and I kind of agree.
The main reason I'm shaking my head is if the Josh Jackson report is true. I've listened to a couple of podcasts now on Josh Jackson specifically, and a lot of people don't like his projection as a superstar. In fact, he shouldn't be going in the top five.
Yeah.
Now he could be a solid player eventually in a rotation, but he's not a guy that you want to build an entire franchise around.
I want to build my entire franchise around him.
No, you wouldn't.
Just kidding. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's our lateral quick hit. So if you like what you just heard, you want more
basketball.
Team. Nope.
Excuse me. Okay, I'm kidding. And you want more sports? Tune in every Monday night, Tuesday morning. We have our link right here, itunes.com/podcast/thelateral.
Sorry, did you just say? Can you say tune again?
Tunes.
Tunes.
Could you tune in?
It's like a tuna. All right. Let us move on to the meat and potatoes of this episode.
I don't like potatoes.
Of this episode.
You don't? You can just wrap it. Oh, that's weird.
I don't like food.
Anyways, E3, I don't know if you've heard of it. I sometimes forget what that even is. happened this last week.
Actually, I have a quick question. Why is it called E3?
Nerds?
I've always questioned why exactly it's called E3.
Like, entertainment.
It's a cool name. But, like, why E3? Not why not E4? Why not, like, E69? Why not E1?
Because E69
is
definitely
the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful.
Why not, like, why don't they call it
E3? Cubed, if you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were games at E3. Let's talk about that instead of the name.
Perfect. Let's start with Nintendo, everyone's favorite franchise.
You mean company?
Company, there we go. Yeah. So, Zelda. There's some DLC. I assume this is Zelda for Switch. Ravi plays Zelda a lot. Have you been able to download the DLC? Or what did that DLC look like?
The DLC hasn't come out.
Yeah, hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
They are doing the big thing for Zelda they are doing...
That's how I feel about it.
...is they're doing a story DLC That will take place after the game's events. So people are excited that they get to play in a post-game DLC. And then there's a lot of other type of things moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely exciting for...
For that franchise, are we getting an impression that this is maybe the first of a few DLCs for them? Or
well, they said from the get go there would be multiple DLCs coming out down the road.
Is it free or do you have to pay for these?
I believe this is a paid DLC. It's okay. $30 US.
Oh, geez, I hate when games do that.
It's kind of their whole spiel is to make make money and so forth.
So my question about this is this DLC a whole new game or is it just a few additional content like extra monsters and loot?
It's a couple of different variations. There are, I think, two or three main side quests that are coming out. A bunch of the map opens up. New items and collectibles and so forth to collect.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You know, basically everything that is Zelda currently, and then a little bit more.
Okay, because I know, like, in some games like Skyrim, for instance, when they came out with two major DLCs,
expansion packs, right?
Those were like actual games. Yeah. So they could justify charging $30 because it was whole new games added on to the main game,
universe,
like a whole new adventure, like new monsters, like new everything.
From what I understand, I don't think it's going to be that expensive because the game hasn't been out that long. Right. Perhaps we get some of the...
He becomes shirtless again, though.
Are you looking forward to that, Rappy?
No.
It's not a shirtless strange. Michael Fassbender, so it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not
shirtless
so,
Michael Fassbender.
So, Rappy, as the Switch player here, do you want to give a verdict on it? You said, not really?
I mean, Zelda was cool when it first came out. That was kind of the primary reason I got the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I just haven't had the desire or energy to bother picking it up and playing. Mm-hmm. I'm still maybe 15-20% into the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is massive.
Yeah.
For the hardcore Zelda fan, which there is the majority of people that buy the game, then they're probably going to love this.
Right.
For the average, like...
You don't even have to sell them on it. They're just
going to be like, whatever, I'll get it whenever.
Yeah.
So if you're a hardcore Zelda fan, you're definitely going to be super happy.
Cool. Nice. Cool, cool. All right. Metroid Prime 6. What do we know about that?
So this is pretty much... I'm going to throw up a video here. So when Nintendo did their release, they opened up their Nintendo stores to let fans kind of come in.
Mm-hmm.
This is all they showed for Metroid Prime 4, the logo, which you can see like people in the audience were going completely crazy over it.
Right. It's a big franchise for Nintendo.
Huge franchise, and they haven't really paid attention to it.
Yeah, it's
in
been
a
long
time
since it had a solid title. For
and me. It's not I just only... Metroid Prime 4 that's coming out. They're also coming out with a 3DS Metroid game as well.
Oh, okay.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah. They've got Mario up there showing it off, so they can't really go wrong with that.
So they're still... Actually, this is an interesting question about Nintendo. So they have the Switch, which doubles as a console and mobile gaming. Mm-hmm. They're still continuing 3DS mm-hmm. and their actual mobile gaming line?
Yes, they are.
Their Game Boy line, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have Game Boy.
Well, I mean...
3DS.
You know,
3DS.
Yeah, they're mobile. The they're mobile. I mean, it was Game Boy, and then it became...
Well, they had Game Boy and the 3DS for a while together. Oh, wow. So.
Gotcha. Cool. And then the last Nintendo Switch game, Super Mario Odyssey. Is that like a whole new...
It's a whole new Super Mario game.
Oh, like Mario 64?
Like Mario 64, but like 10,000 times bigger.
What?
You have a hat.
Wait, why is this hat floating?
The hat's alive.
So
what?
Yeah,
that's weird.
Or is that a bug?
They actually made... a lot of people feel like this Mario game is a lot more like the Super Mario RPG that came out quite a few years ago, where you actually team up with Bowser and stuff. So people are very excited for this game and getting maybe a little bit more RPG elements. And there actually was another Mario game that was announced, which has to deal with Mario and the rabbits from Ubisoft.
Right.
They're doing a crossover game. And people are intrigued by this because this is Nintendo and Ubisoft coming together to make, combine two pretty popular franchises and make a game. And it looks cool. It looks interesting. There are RPG elements to it.
It looks beautiful.
It's like this is
Mario Odyssey.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
We don't have any B-roll for the other one.
But I think
the biggest thing about Mario Odyssey is. The hat, you can throw at various characters.
That's awesome.
And as you can see, the hat is on the dinosaur. You can control the dinosaur.
Whoa.
it's kind of cool, but also weird.
It's
I don't
an interesting element.
Like the floaty hat, though.
I mean, here he is in like New York City, some other weird place, wow. some other place.
Mario gets around. And he had on a sombrero. I'm confused. Yeah, does the hat change shape?
This looks like it's going to be a really entertaining game. I don't like kind of weird, but. I mean, Mario is a little weird. Let's, you know, the world itself. You have, like, these mushrooms walking around. You get to stomp them out. You know, it's a little strange to begin with, so. Cool. So that probably wraps up Nintendo. Let's move on to Xbox. So we mentioned last week that I think a pre-E3 Xbox sort of had their whole... it seems like most of their stuff announced, right?
We talked about EA specifically.
Okay.
And the game we're going to talk about for Xbox is Anthem. Mm-hmm. They're a massive online game.
And I know you guys are super excited for this.
It's their answer to...
Destiny.
To Destiny, mm-hmm. essentially. And they showed more off at the Microsoft...
I mean, the game looks amazing.
It looks really good.
Supposedly, it's 60 frames... per second as well.
And it's going to be
pumping out 4K.
It's going to be on both the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4.
I was going to say it's not an exclusive.
Which is terrible because it's going to look like garbage on the PS4 Pro.
I don't think it's going to look as bad as people think.
60 frames per second? There's a big difference.
I don't think it's going to be that big. I think people like who are hypersensitive to that.
I am. Well,
right, okay. You are, so, but I don't think that is the majority.
For our less technically inclined viewers,
more frames, the smoother the image looks, the smoother the animations are.
Why would that not work on the PlayStation 4?
Because currently, from what I understand, the PS4 Pro, mm-hmm. which is the newer updated console, mm-hmm. doesn't have the ability or the hardware or the tech or whatever to actually pump out 60 frames per second.
Wait, it can't? Cannot. The hardware can't, or they need to. If they
the hardware can't.
Cool.
Okay, we bought the wrong console.
Well, I mean, we have a PC, so this is also coming out for PC, and that's the thing.
Yeah. VR.
Our PC, which we're using currently to stream everything on, cost about $500-$600.
And you put it together yourself.
About 6-7 months ago, mm-hmm. we use it for streaming. We'll be able to use it to play this game. The Xbox One X when it comes out. Mm. $500.
Yeah.
It's just for gaming.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. No, that's a great point. That looks beautiful. Did we get any details on, is it going to be a clone of Destiny? Did they try and highlight anything that they're going to do differently? Or are they keeping those things?
The one big thing, I think the game for the most part, you can actually just kind of fly to any location. It's kind of like that open well.
So you don't have to load.
Kind of like what Zelda has, Breath of the Wind, where you can just kind of, you see a mountain over there, you can go.
This is kind of similar to that.
Very Skyrim. I think what's really cool, with the game itself, are the mech suits and the various mech suits that you can have. You can have heavies, you can have light, stealthy ones, you can have ones in between. And it seems
super
like
customizable.
Very customizable. And
just look at this as well.
That looks
running
incredible.
Right here is insane.
You can call on the different mechs for like the different situations you need, and because there is such a team element and an online element, you can be like, all right, I need you to be a heavy, I need you to be a stealth, I need you to be an all around, I need you to be a tank, and just kind of strategically go into battles.
Interesting.
And I think that's people like the strategy, especially when you work with.
It seems like a winning formula would be combining the strategy with that RPG element and with a third person shooter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. All right.
By which he means I might be able to play it. I hate first person games. Hate them. Did you say no?
No, I said no. I said no. You should be able to play. Yeah, double negative. About
all right.
So the other, it's not really a game, but just like they promised, no Halo 6 news, huh? Is that?
Yeah, that annoys me. It annoyed me so much, I went and put Halo 5 footage together.
Halo 5 was so bad!
But didn't you... why does that bother you?
Because I want a new Halo.
But you got rid of your Xbox.
Because disappointed in Halo,
oh my God.
By the way.
I'm guessing you're looking for redemption.
It's not just looking for redemption. It's I've put like 10 plus years of my life into this stupid story.
This is how I feel about Assassin's
Creed. I see what you're saying.
And I want some kind of either resolution, something.
The fact that it's E3
and there's no new Halo, I don't know, it annoys me.
I stopped caring about the story after 3.
I also want to say though, I'm looking at this as... So a lot of people are arguing that the Xbox One X is the next generation console for Microsoft.
It's not.
That's false. No. That's complete BS. It's just a stepping stone, just like the PS4 Pro. We now live in the age of hardware DLC, if you will, right? Just like games, you want to play more, you want to do more, you have to pay more, you have to give more money and download more crap. If you want to play those one-up little games or whatever, you got to update your system. That's where we're at right now, and they know. So this is not a next-gen. So I'm kind of, yay, no Halo, but also at the same time, what the hell, no Halo. Yeah.
There's going to be Halo. They just didn't have it for this.
They haven't announced their next-gen console. Who knows, maybe the next-gen, because the other big thing that was missing from this console, PlayStation's already jumped down the rabbit hole of VR. Microsoft still is kind of...
on the fence. Meh.
But they've got their thing called Microsoft HoloLens, which is augmented reality. Okay. So it's very possible that that next-gen console that we see is not VR, but more augmented reality.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. There you go. Video gaming, I think, almost by far makes the most money of any sort of entertainment industry, at least in the U.S. It's quickly becoming very, very expensive hobby to have.
Yes, yes it is.
I think that's pretty safe to say.
$60, you know? I mean...
$60 for a game.
And that's for the basic game.
$30 for DLC or Season Pass.
And then you're talking about...
microtransactions.
The hardware that you have to... You know, you have to have a 4K TV now. You have to have the Xbox One X, right? You have to have memberships and online memberships.
Very aside from the individual
your internet connection, you've got to pay for that.
I mean,
you have that anyway. Let's not
put the fees together, right? A good 4K TV is going to cost you at least...
$1,000
at least.
Another $500 for the Xbox One X. Another $60 for a second controller or a controller. Then you're talking about Xbox Live being another $60
a month, a year.
Then you're talking about a couple games for $60, $120. So you're already close to $2,000.
And if you're playing online, then you need a headset with a mic because you're going to get feedback if you don't use that.
That can be anywhere from $20 to $50 to however much. So it's a and that's just your startup fee. Mm-hmm. And then as you buy more games and you have to renew and it's...
So instead, send that money to us.
So we can
and we'll
talk
do something
about
else with it.
Yeah. So we can talk
we'll
about
play
that.
Games. Video games. Yeah. And you can just watch.
A board game.
Yes.
And you don't have to
very interactive.
Buy into it.
We're trying to put the social element back
anyway.
Into it. All right, let's move on to PlayStation.
PlayStation.
At least one person here is heavily invested. I think Sarah is as well, right? The Assassin's Creed franchise?
Yes.
Arjuna's going to be grumpy about it, and I'm going to be super excited. So who do you want to talk to?
I'm not grumpy about it.
Well, so Arjuna... So I actually got to see a little bit of it because Arjuna was watching it when I just happened to be around. So it was set in Egypt. It's going to be the original assassin. See, and I saw some of the gameplay footage. It looked cool. It looked at least way less wonky than the current piece of crap you're playing right now.
Wait, who? Arjuna?
Yes. Juna's currently playing...
Oh, you're playing through...
What are you playing?
Not Unity,
I'm playing
but
Unity.
You are playing through Unity.
So
oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is the worst game ever.
Yeah. So
that's like
I was comparing it to that, and I'm like, this game looked like it looks cool. I'm like, huh, maybe it's coming back. But you guys tell me. I don't
care. I'm always super excited about new Assassin's Creed, and I also love Ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
As a general rule, I'm super excited about the location. The one thing I will say, and Robbie brought this up when we were watching the video, is that they didn't change the gameplay.
No,
it's
I mean, look at
the same
look
thing.
At
You're
this.
Still doing the same thing. And
oh,
honestly,
wow.
The it's still the same.
They're not going to change the formula, though.
They're not going to change it that much, but they might introduce
But that's
some
what's
new
made it so terribly, like, beyond the glitch city, the repetitiveness of it is getting to the point of, I don't want to play this anymore because it's the same thing
and
over
and
over.
You have a shield now.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I've got some super
hilarious.
Awesome.
Is this
They're
it?
Not a I drastic know. Improvement for considering the fact that you've got these systems that can output at high resolution.
But look, you can be an eagle now.
That's completely different.
Well,
it's instead of having your eagle vision, this is what eagle.
You get a legitimate eagle.
Well, you get the
it's
eagle,
the
but then
assassin,
you can actually see.
Right.
Instead of
hey,
having,
buddy.
I mean, you can actually.
How you doing?
I don't know. I mean, is
he sounds
I
like
a
Muppet?
He's kind of a shapeshifter. He's
So let me ask you this question then, because you're clearly two of many Assassin's fans who are just too invested in the game franchise at this point to give it up, no matter
look, he's riding a horse.
How bad these games are. What are you specifically looking for in future games that would rejuvenate your interest and passion for the franchise?
I'm looking for a good storyline right now.
Okay.
Just because Assassin's Creed
Unity was
hasn't had a good storyline in
hundreds of years.
Wait, hold on.
From game to game, right?
What was it? Three with Connor? Four with...
Connor was three.
Four was Black Flag. Black Flag wasn't necessarily a great story. It was just the gameplay with the boats.
I did like when they introduced being on the sea with the boat.
It was different.
Oh.
You loved it.
I didn't put B-roll in for this or anything, but there is a game from Ubisoft coming
it's
out.
It's basically based off of using that engine.
Yep.
It's a ship fighting game.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds cool.
And it's multiplayer too, which is going
to
be great.
But it's you're not just moving the ship. You can hop off and swim to the. You're a character. Whereas with Black Flag, you move the ships around, but you didn't have a lot of interactivity on them.
They're using that engine for sure.
But it looked really cool, actually. That one did. I don't remember which one that was.
Very cool.
I mean, I'm always excited about Assassin's Creed games.
So we're just gonna have to wait and see, aren't we? But it looked interesting. It looks better than what you're playing right now. So
I mean,
that's an upgrade.
Unity is probably the worst Assassin's Creed game by far.
Is it the worst game you've ever played? Be honest.
No, because I played what was that Nintendo Superman game that we played? Remember, you guys, when we rented that and you flew through the rings?
Oh,
that game
was
so bad. That was actually bad.
You couldn't control him in the air at all.
G4 did like a top 10 worst video games. That was number one back there.
Yeah.
It's you actually physically can't beat the game without cheat codes.
Wow.
It's that buggy.
I'm quite glad that I never played that.
Yeah, it's a shame. They ruined Superman video game. They ruined the movies. What else would they ruin? Just kidding.
Go back and watch classic Superman.
There you go.
That's for real.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Destiny 2. So that was the multiplayer social... First person RPG. It was first, huh?
First person.
It was first.
You could walk around third sometimes, right?
You could dance around third person.
And you could wave at people and salute.
Yeah, but that's not really.
And then sit down.
Yep.
And then gaze out into the. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. It's made by Bungie, so the guys that originally did Halo, so it's a very Halo-esque feel to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. And that's what people. Because obviously Halo is limited only to the Xbox, so I think a big appeal of this game, especially when it first came out, was you get a Halo-like game on PlayStation.
On Xbox too, it was on PC.
Right.
It's on
all the things. So what do you guys think? Well, how does it look? It looks exactly the same.
I'll be honest. I was excited for it.
Yeah.
And then Anthem came out, and then Anthem's specifications came out, and I lost interest in Destiny.
So are you saying...
Like, if you do a direct side-by-side comparison so far of, like, the two on the consoles...
Yeah.
Just
from this B-roll,
so you're saying
I know which one I prefer.
Yeah, Anthem just looks a lot better.
Uh-huh.
I mean... Granted, this is E3 stuff, and as we've known from from previous E3s, what we see at E3 and then what we actually get on ship day are
two completely different products.
It could be that Anthem looks like, I don't know, Halo 2 for all we know when it comes out.
Well,
nothing
looks like that.
How are we
going to
have that footage
when
it comes out and looks like
that?
Oh, that's really funny. But, so, did they release... Did they say what's going to be the major differences in this game? Is it going to be more of the same?
There's more customization.
A lot more customization.
It needs more of that.
And then also,
sure.
Like, jumping out of games is a lot smoother, a lot easier.
That was a big problem we ran into when we would play. It was sometimes just tough to, like, jump into something.
Yep.
And play. And when you have a video game that you can't easily play, that's pretty much a very big problem.
Yeah.
The only way to play the game is to play it online with a bunch of people, and you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm not going to lie, I'd like to see more classes as well. Three of the main ones. I feel like you should bump it up to five.
I think they're bumping it up, and you can mix and match a little bit more.
Nice.
And guns are much more customizable.
Yeah. Because that seemed to get repetitive. Your basics, but within those basics, you didn't feel like there was really that much difference. Yeah. The stats were different, but...
Now, when are they doing the beta with Destiny?
Is
it
the end of this year? I think it's around summertime.
Sometime like in a month or two, maybe?
Something like that.
Because the game releases, but they're doing... So if you pre-order, you get a code that you can participate in the beta.
Okay.
And we did that, and then we don't know where the code went. So if we can find our code, or maybe get the code again, then we can.
So hopefully, maybe we'll stay tuned. We might have some Destiny beta stuff for you.
Yeah, we can talk about how shitty it looks compared to Anthem.
There's our one swear for the show.
Yes.
Wasted it. No, I'm just kidding. Last game for PlayStation is Marvel's Spider-Man.
An exclusive for PlayStation.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
That's fine.
But the last Spider-Man I played, I think, was for
Spider-Man 2 video game for PlayStation 2. Right.
Yeah, and it was good. You could collect all the suits, I think, and it was open world. It was
it was great because
the web physics were amazing.
It was actually like a movie video game, which they've stopped doing because they were just always terrible.
But that one was so.
That one was just really well made and really well done.
It was beautiful too. The graphics were.
Yeah,
even on the PlayStation 2,
those were good back in the day, and they showed like the first 10 minutes of gameplay at the Sony E3, and it looked really cool. Like it's made by Insomniac, who made Infamous 1, 2, and the other one.
Same game engine.
It's kind of similar, but it's more stealthy elements because you are Spider-Man.
Nice,
but the fighting kind of looked similar in terms of using physical combat with different types of powers. Obviously, this being Spider-Man, web-based powers. It was a cool sequence where you were at like a Fisk building construction site, and you had to utilize some stealth elements to take out people, but you had to just use the brutal powers of Spider-Man, essentially.
His brutal noodle.
Of beating up people and using it. Then there's a helicopter chase. The one negative the game is getting, and you saw this in the playthrough, there are a lot of like quick time events where you have to kind of use the triggers like at different spots, which is it's an old element that's not used as much in video games.
Wait, what do you mean by quick
time? So basically you're watching like a cinematic event, it's like, hit the R2 button.
I was never a big fan.
Or like spin the joystick at this point. So yeah.
It's just timing and rhythm.
Yeah, especially for a massive open world action game like this, people are like, what? This doesn't.
They're trying to throw in that element that doesn't fit. It works well for games like, what was that game, Rain? Like those dramatic
Heavy Rain, which is more of a cinematic movie, video game experience.
Anyway. We want just a nice, simple swing around, beat them up, solve crime, beat up people, etc. Nice.
Give me a second. I'm still working on it.
Oh yeah, no,
Robbie's on a mission.
I actually want to talk about really quick. You know, with Spider-Man 2.
There, I did
nicely
it.
Nicely done.
There we go.
And
nice.
Spider-Man what?
With the video game, how they're going to utilize some of the not as popular elements of Spider-Man. So they said Miles Morales will be involved in this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is Peter Parker or Miles Morales. This could be a Miles Morales Spider-Man. Ooh. I'm not sure if it's been confirmed if it's Peter Parker.
So it'd be Donald Glover.
So, no, it would not. Well, no.
Could be.
I don't think that was Donald Glover's voice.
Yeah.
So they want to introduce a lot of these types of elements. And then even in this B-roll, you can see it's not his classic Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't like this Spider-Man suit at all.
You don't like it?
It's like a white spider, and I think there's going to be a lot of different customization like that.
One of my favorite parts of the old games was collecting the suits and then the different powers that they had. Like, Venom was
This game's
sweet.
Very, like, this sequence right here is very Arkham Asylum, Batman.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're jumping around, poaching people and
different side missions and, well.
Oh, that's so cool. The web, the stealth element here is going to be very interesting.
So what if there's like an Easter egg in the game where you get a little bit of like emo Spidey? Because just a throwback Easter egg where he like dances down the street as Peter Parker. Sorry, it would be highly entertaining to me.
They totally should. Tobey Maguire is a legend. he is at this point. Like he's I feel like his Spider-Man is now cult classic territory.
It's old.
It's old and it's entertaining and it's hokey.
It's
wonderful.
All of it. I mean, The first one.
Stop the bus! Stop the bus!
All right, fine, but I've got a big soft spot for.
It's great.
I still love the Michael Keaton Batman.
So. Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. I think it's at that level of cult
classic. Is Michael Keaton's Batman the one that had the rubber nipples?
No, that was George Clooney.
Yeah, Clooney had it.
Okay. Clooney had
it.
It
was in that series of them.
True story. That's so strange.
It was in the series of them, but
I don't want
Michael
to
Keaton
know.
Was the for Batman for the first two, and then it was.
Leave it alone.
No, was it Val Kilmer and then Clooney? It was Val Kilmer and then Clooney.
Some really weird, strange Batman choices.
We work in shirtless Michael Fassbender every week.
I already
and
did.
And now
you missed
and
it.
And now we have fake George Clooney nipples.
Yes. Hey, I didn't bring that one up. So.
No. Yeah, Ravi.
I'm going to continue to just bring... Oh, no.
That's right. Ravi's going all out today for B-roll.
Wait,
I'm
going
to stall you until we can get this B-roll on here. Ravi
so, yeah, is. I mean, can we also get a picture of a shirtless Michael Fassbender while we're looking?
No!
Oh, come on.
That's a 3-1.
Or I Ravi changes so, I always, E3, like... E3 was a little different this year in terms of... They just showed trailers, essentially. There was not a lot of talking heads... explaining different gameplay, gameplay elements, or anything.
There we go. I can't reach him.
I was gonna. Can I move it around? No, I can't.
Point out specifically.
It was really just a straight shot of trailers, like trailer. Mm-hmm. Now, in years past, they would break it up with like, oh, and here are the creators of South Park talking about the game. And what's going to be about. And I kind of missed that because it gives you some... Oh boy.
Oh, wow.
If you are
there
watching
we go.
Us...
If
you're watching shows us, off the rails.
If you are watching us right
yeah,
now...
Yeah, there's one right above your head, Krishna.
If you are watching us...
Everybody needs to see a Batman nipple. What?
If you're watching us on Facebook, you just witnessed Sarah touching the image of George Clooney's Batman nipple. If you're listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out on Facebook.
Yeah, go see the real
Because I think
thing.
You need
yeah.
to see that.
To see that
now,
in full.
If we can get a picture of shirtless Michael Fassbender, I'll touch his nipple too. I'm just saying.
We are not going there.
Oh.
I keep bringing up.
No, but like
so
Richard,
sad.
Like Richard was saying, yeah, this was a lot more, hey, here's another trailer. Hey, here's another trailer.
And
hey, here's
I
another
I
trailer.
I didn't love that because I could just watch that on YouTube.
Yeah.
I want to see the industry's giants explain to me what was the decision making in making Anthem this.
So, I will say this. So, not to get you off, but the one company that did do that was Nintendo. So Nintendo used their own live stream service to kind of jump in and show all the trailers back to back. It took about 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they had like the craze of Mario Odyssey sit down and say, I did this, this, and this. And by the way, if you want to watch something hilarious, watch that because they are dressed up in the tea with like Mario, like goofy hats. And just it's just really hilarious to watch.
That's cool.
Some other places, and
I like that.
And I think the big thing, I think this is a big change in kind of how E3 is going to be presented going forward. Instead of doing these mass keynote presentations and whatever, and have the talking heads, instead, what they did was a lot of these developers and so forth jumped on smaller YouTube shows afterwards to be asked those types of questions and so forth. Twitch had a huge part as well. Mm-hmm. Twitch has a
they
lot
streamed.
Of various streams and so forth going, so that you, the viewer, kind of get to decide what you want to pick. So, like in Arjun's case, he wanted to know more about, you know, like let's say Anthem and those folks. He could have tuned into the Anthem like developers and so forth sitting on the various the Twitch stream show, a YouTube show, and so forth. That's kind of how they're pushing it going forward.
I don't know if I love that, just because. Especially like E3 being such the big portal of getting so much video game news. I feel like for a lot of fans, it's a good spot to get all of that information. And for me, I like the traditional format of just rolling through all the things I'm interested in and that I'm not interested in. So it was just like, I don't know if I just want to like, watch the trailers and like, oh, if I want to watch more, go here. I just kind of want it
all presented to you.
Yeah, because then I feel like
less work for you,
less work for me, and then I can also If I leave and go watch the Anthem thing, I might miss another announcement.
Oh, no, these are all happened after the fact.
Yeah, but then it's still a longer period of time.
Well, here's the other thing, though, and I wonder this is the first year that they sold tickets to the pub, to the general public. Yeah, they were expensive tickets, but they sold, like, 25,000, like, they sold so many tickets.
Yeah.
And I actually saw some people commenting that were there that it was not a good experience. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I just wonder how much those kinds of things affected the way they presented they knew they had so much.
One of my buddies from my previous job went and he said he's been to a few E3s and he said it was the worst E3 experience.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's what I heard from another friend of mine.
I don't know.
Too.
I mean, I feel like I hear that every single year. This is the worst.
I heard it from a friend who has gone several years in a row who is a Siri, like pretty strong gamer, and she was like, it was not good.
From what I heard, it was disorganized. Like, he went to the EA
panel,
and you know, they took many hours to get in, and then once they got in, it was so disorganized they couldn't even play because there was just couldn't.
All right, yeah, we got to move on here. Our last section of E3 is VR. So obviously, Ravi and Sarah are very excited about this.
Fallout 4,
and I'm gonna roll them together. Actually, Doom, because those are both
right. And that's what we've got. This is what we've got right here, right now, is Doom. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys would be more excited.
Yeah, Doom would be sweet.
Nope. Quick side story. When we were younger, I think I was 5. You were maybe 6 or 7.
It's probably 7.
You were like 3.
Yeah, it's like some of my early.
And our uncle got us a computer.
Our uncle got us a computer. He installed Doom on it, and then he just left. So we played Doom at a very young age, and we did not like it. I still don't like Doom. It's horrifying.
We didn't like it, but we still played it.
So
until our mother took it away.
What I'm going to do to you guys, I'm going to trick you into playing Doom. No.
I'll play it. No,
you can't
I'll
do that if you tell them you're going to do it.
No,
they'll forget. They have short-term memory.
That's funny, because my first video game was not at all like that, but still very much immersed myself. But remember, it was on a Commodore 64. So anyway. I was just going to say Fallout, but were you going to say something else about Doom?
Yeah, real. I just, it makes me wonder sort of what liability VR and the makers of these games have, because once you put those headphones on and the whole experience, they probably have none, right? But when people start having heart attacks and stuff like that because the experience becomes so real. And this is going to be a thing. Where will that line be drawn? And I don't think we're at that point yet.
Well, it's just disclaimers on the
games. People take a lot of anxiety medication.
Interesting thing that you say. Elijah Wood,
yeah.
Ubisoft, and some startup VR studio are making a psychological thriller experience for VR.
Oh my.
What, his character from Sin City, like, eating people?
I don't know, but that's one of those things. There's also a episode of Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. Is it Black Mirror? That's the sci-fi? Yep.
Yes.
In season 3, where a individual goes into a facility where they're making horror games, and he has to sign a waiver. So,
well, that's the thing, too, is that they're never going to create these games without putting appropriate disclaimers. Mm-hmm. Put disclaimers if you're prone to seizures and things like that, you should not play these games. You shouldn't put a VR headset on.
They're going to have to expand that, though, too. If you take certain kinds of medication. Yeah, but they're going to have to still have those disclaimers because...
Well, and they do. And they probably do, and we just don't read them because...
It's like if someone under 9 years old goes to see a 3D movie, their eyesight is prone to... They're putting those glasses. They could mess up the development of their eyes if they see enough of those movies. It's the same idea. Like, as we get more advanced into these things,
this will be interesting. Speaking of messing ourselves up, Fallout 4.
Ooh, look at this.
Yeah, that's going to be messed up, and it's going to be awesome.
Fallout 4 is... Boop! Such a great survival game.
You played Fallout 4 on the traditional
A little
consoles.
Bit, yeah. This was before they bought Skyrim to the next-gen console.
Can you pronounce it correctly? Scrim.
Scrim.
Scrim. Scrim.
Before they put Scrim.
The loser pronunciation of Scrim. This was sort of that massive open-world RPG, highly customizable, build your character any way you want. And this was obviously very different from Skyrim and all of those games that... Is it Bethesda?
Bethesda.
Bethesda. That created. So you know, completely different setting, obviously, post-apocalyptic. I played a little bit. Eventually, I need to go back and just sit down and play. I know it's one of those time and soul suckers.
Ask Krishna the last time he completed a video game.
Never.
Oh, has he?
No. I actually do a know sports the game, maybe? No,
you do?
No. He's never beat a sports game. The furthest he's gone...
You don't beat so sports mean. Games, though.
Beat you.
He's done a career mode, right? So an NBA one NBA regular season is 82 games. Krishna, tell them the furthest you've ever gone in a season.
I'm proud of this.
23 games.
Nice.
Into a quarter of a season.
Wow.
One
you know, you know how much...
That's further than I would make it, because... Yeah.
But it's like five minutes each game.
I'm pretty sure the last game you beat is one of the last games all three of us played together.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
And that is Halo 4. Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Wait, did Final Fantasy X come up before that?
Yeah, before.
Okay, so, because we beat that.
Oh, we did.
I was proud that we beat that, because that's a long game.
I had a really bad migraine after we beat it.
It's because we probably sat down for 9 hours straight to beat it.
The final boss took a long time.
Oh, yeah. Probably four hours, yeah. All right, that is going to do it for our E3. Let's move on real quick to the Nerdyverse.
I've never been there before.
You live in the Nerdyverse, nerd.
Nah, he just kind of lives outside it a little bit.
Oh, if Arjuna's a little bit out of it, I'm like over here, you know. So anyway, Netflix finally overtook cable with 50 million subscribers. And really, we've known for a while now, it's just a matter of time.
We knew that was going to happen.
But it's finally happened. What are the implications going forward?
Well, I think now there's the physical number. While people talked about, you know, people cutting the cords, you have the definitive number.
And proof.
In the United States, there are more Netflix subscribers than cable subscribers. And you've already started to see, obviously, lots of television shows on Netflix. The next step, and you're starting to see this too, with, you know, sporting events on Amazon and through Yahoo and other, you know, different companies and whatnot. Twitter is maybe more live events being actually streamed through Netflix and sporting events. I've heard they've... You know, Netflix wants to talk to Major League Baseball to maybe stream a certain amount of games, and then they've decided to do it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to see the sporting world and more of the live stuff.
That would be fantastic.
Because guess what? You can hit more people now on Netflix than you can on cable.
Why don't you hit people?
You could just hit them.
Yeah, you can just come through the screen and slap them.
Well, that's a whole different technology.
Oh, you're right.
it's like Toby said in The Office. Slap, scream, and run away.
Ooh, I like that. That's actually good stuff. Moving on, Junkie XL is going to he was the composer for the Justice League movie.
He'd been the composer for most of the DCEU movies.
Being replaced by our good friend Danny Elfman.
He's been replaced by Danny Elfman. The big implication here was Junkie XL was Zack Snyder's guy, and Danny Elfman is a Josh Whedon guy.
Danny Elfman's great. He did the music for the first Spider-Man movie.
Did he
probably
do
the other two as well?
No, he didn't. Did he?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, for he's done a lot.
No.
That's I forget who that is.
Here's my question. Did Junkie XL do the music for
Wonder Woman?
No.
King Arthur?
Suicide Squad. Because that's the only redeeming quality of that movie. And I'm a little sad.
I don't know if he did the Suicide Squad one. I know he did all the main themes in the Justice League and like the Wonder Woman main theme back in the day. Yeah, that's Junkie XL.
Yeah, which Robbie didn't like, but I actually liked because it was very reminiscent.
So some of the films that he's done, Kingdom of Heaven, Shark Tale, Chronicles of Riddick, Animatrix. XL.
That's his DJ name.
Oh, Robbie, he did the Animatrix. The music in that like movie was really good. Resident Evil, Divergent.
He did the Divergent series. Oh my god!
He also did.
I don't think
Mad Max Fury Road.
I don't.
Guys, Mad Max is
movie.
He's really known for doing a lot of scores.
Deadpool.
He's done a lot of scores before he did start doing movies a few years back. He did a lot of video game scores. Mm. That was what he used to be really well known for.
Okay, cool. So that is the music side of the movies. Some casting news real quick before we end. Jessica Chastain is going to be playing Lilandra.
Maybe.
Shiar Empress, but it's not confirmed.
Is this correct?
Okay.
Is that her? Because I just found a picture.
That is her.
Well, that's, yeah.
I didn't verify my source.
That's one.
That's what Krishna used to look like when he had hair.
Oh, wow. We have a picture of Krishna.
That's one of the incarnations of Lalandra. So this is, so they first introduced her in like the early 80s with the original like Dark Phoenix saga stuff. So she, it goes, the thing I find interesting is that it goes to further solidify the whole Dark Phoenix aspect, which I guess I don't have. They officially come out with that title yet, or we're just
it's
calling
still
it
the
that.
Working title. It's yeah. like the working title.
So it just goes further to solidify that. I'm curious to know because in the comics, Lalandra had a relationship with Charles Xavier.
Also, in the '90s animated X-Men series.
Yeah. So I'm just curious to know if they'll incorporate that. I feel like that might take away from the Dark Phoenix storyline a little bit, but it may be the only like
but you know,
love
that's
interest
exactly
story
what
part
they're
of
going
the storyline. Well, but I mean, it may be able to. They may be you know want to weave some kind of human interest story in versus all of that. Also means it's going to very much be in space, whereas all the other X-Men movies have been very earthbound.
In space.
But if it's the Dark Phoenix saga, then you're going to see.
It should be called.
It's the Phoenix Force is a space. Like you're going to pull it out into space and.
X-Men, in space.
Lost Real quick though, how are they going to do that hair?
Well, no, her hair doesn't necessarily always look
They're
like that. This
do
is
that.
Another one. I can.
Nobody's going to see that.
They can see it.
Oh yeah, they can actually. That comes through pretty good.
Hold on, let me. Pretty there you
so,
go.
Oh, sorry.
And,
so,
and for our iTunes listeners, we are showing a different
picture. Yeah, a different picture. Well, no, she's got a helmet on.
A metalhead.
She's got on armor. So, I
she's
mean,
a metalhead.
It's,
yeah, but that hair is like, I mean, I remember this character solely based on her hairstyle.
Yeah, I remember the X-Men animated show.
That's how I remember the character. So,
then
to me, it's iconic.
The creator did something correct then.
Right.
Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that is going to do it for our show. This is LuzoCast episode 52. Please like, subscribe, comment. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter.
This show is on Facebook. The full show is on Facebook, facebook.com/LuzoProductions. And it is on iTunes, www.itunes.com/podcast/LuzoCast. You can subscribe to us. Mm-hmm. You can leave us a rating. You can listen to our previous episodes. And everything like that. Ravi is shocked by this, by the way. He is.
You should subscribe. Then you'll know when we have new episodes available.
Yeah,
we also release these every Sunday at 4:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern time.
7:30 p.m.
In the morning. No, in the evening.
Yes.
But that is our show. We will be back with more awesome stuff next week at Sunday, 4:30.
You guys will be. I won't.
Oh, Arjuna will unfortunately
be. They forgot to do this again. I don't know why they keep doing this. Luzo. Luzo Live will be Thursday, June 22nd.
That's correct.
At
5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, on Facebook.
And this is for Twitch. The NBA 2000.
The 2017 NBA Draft, the first round. Find out if the Celtics will trade the number one pick. Find out who Magic Johnson will take with the number two pick. Find out if the 76ers will actually do anything correctly.
Go Sports Ball!
We'll see you later.